I believe that, you know, service is now going to extend outside of the traditional what a service organization was. It's going to play a part in all of the different elements of the entire organization, all the way back into billing, by the way, which is, you know, the reason why many companies exist is they need to make revenue.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP. And with me on the show today, I have my special guest, Craig. Craig, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, Tom. Thanks for having me. It's Craig Bloomberg here. I'm the solution owner for field service management at SAP and looking after FSM, as I mentioned, and scheduling. So very pleased to be here.
Okay, so field service management. For, as I say often enough on the podcast, a lot of the people who listen to this come from all different aspects of supply chain. So for people who might not be familiar with field service management, I'm assuming that's, as the name would imply, managing service technicians out in the field who are repairing devices. Is that it?
So yeah, definitely a part of it. For me, field service management is really that end-to-end element. So for example, it would be not only the technicians out in the field, but it'll be how dispatchers in the back office make sure that they're optimizing the right jobs, for example, to go to technicians with the right skills, with the right equipment, with the right tools, consumables, and making sure that when technicians are on site, they have all the digital information on hand, and all of that information can flow back. So it's really not only about the technician, while they're a very important part, it's really connecting the back office to the execution and then back into the back office again.
So we're no longer getting someone in overalls knocking on the door with a clipboard in their hands.
We hope not to, exactly. And funnily enough, you know, a lot of these technicians are such, the way things are going is pretty much you and I. It's being able to self-manage and self-fix many, many different things and having someone over the wire actually helping you and guiding you in what to do. So it's becoming a very interesting area.
Wow. So it I hadn't realized. So now I can go to a company site. They may have a page that guides me through repairing it myself.
So that's one part. For example, I'll give you a very silly example, but nonetheless, I installed a Ring alarm system at my house a couple of months ago, and it's literally self-guided with videos. If you need to speak to someone, you can go on an instant chat. You could call. Really, really easy, flexible. And I was ultimately the installer, in that case, the technician. Another example would be, you know, whereby you phone a support desk or you initiate a call and there's augmented reality. So somebody literally guides you through a video on your mobile device. So you're showing it with a camera and they're using ultimately drawings in their hands to show you where to plug things in or fix things. So it's really the full spectrum now.
Wow. So field service management is obviously about fixing things in the field. It spans everything from consumer, I assume, right the way out to, you know, let's say a large utility company with distributed generation devices, wind turbines, solar farms, all that kind of thing. There's been, to your point, lots of changes in the last few years. What aspect of it do you think has changed the most in the shortest length of time? What's the biggest change you're seeing?
So I think for me, it's exactly as you mentioned. So, you know, from the consumer all the way to large utilities, there's oil and gas, there's machine manufacturers. I mean, at the end of the day, service, there are a number of changes. The first thing is service is, and it used to be very categorized by the concept of break fix. So go out, you fix something that's broken. One of the key changes is this digitization that's happening, and it has been happening for many years. But ultimately, how do we make sure that the machine is still operating and still running when we fix it? So it hasn't broken yet. So it's kind of more predictive, making sure that the machine is speaking to us. So there are many different you know, areas of IoT and where the machine is speaking to systems in order to say I'm only running at a specific level. But one thing that I would say in the last couple of years has kind of been of key interest to me is really that the level of engagement from employees as well as from customers. Are they ready for this digital journey? So, for example, are employees themselves who are actually using all of these new digital elements, whether it's a mobile phone or AR glasses, whatever it may be, are they ready for that transition? Because as you mentioned in the beginning with a clipboard, we're starting to see a big shift. And if you don't mind, I'll give you one quick example of a customer I was speaking to the other day, a massive machine manufacturer on a global level. And they went through a digital transformation, and I was waiting for, yes, we've installed X, Y, or Z technology and so forth. And the service director basically said to me, well, what we did over the last 18 months, and this was about 6 to 9 months ago, this conversation, he said, what we did is we made sure our entire service organization from a field service perspective were of the ages of basically 25 up to around 39, 45, because they wanted to digitize the mind in terms of they wanted to make sure that the people executing their services were very afay and happy with mobile. And that concept then, you know, struck straight away a chord with me, saying that is a massive important element that we often don't think about, because we always think technology will change the mindset, whereas sometimes the mindset changes the way in order of which we use the technology. And this was very interesting concept for me.
Fascinating. And we're seeing as well a big shift towards the likes of equipment as a service, product as a service. How is that impacting the whole field service area?
So also another area that is kind of, you know, let's say on a massive journey of transformation, because equipment as a service or servitization is not only changing the way in which we service equipment, it's changing the way of the entire organization. So now we can no longer be siloed, because the offer, for example, in the change of the business model, the way you sell the equipment as a service, it's no longer that you're selling a product. So you don't have only the sales organization to worry about. You have to make sure that contracts, sales, marketing, everything is aligned with your service operation, so that as you sell this equipment as a service, from start to end, the entire organization is ready. So business models have shifted completely. There's a long journey, by the way, in this equipment as a service. I don't think every organization will, you know, start straight away and in X amount of time just be at the end. But the entire, as I mentioned, the market is changing substantially. I think there is a lot of new technologies that will be born out of this as well. But more importantly, the customer expectations and the ability to serve a customer will increase substantially, because no longer are you buying a product that you need to service, you're buying an outcome, and you have to make sure, and companies have to make sure that that outcome that the customer expects and has purchased according to an SLA or an agreement is always operational and up and running for the customer. So it is changing a lot of mindsets. It's changing substantially in the way businesses are conducting, but it is allowing us to kind of, you know, leapfrog where equipment itself and service itself is transitioning to. So super, super exciting again. Sorry, I get really excited about all of these different elements in service.
Sure, but the whole shift to product or equipment as a service means that it is now no longer, how do I put this? you no longer are incentivized to build in obsolescence into your devices, or maybe a better way to say it would be, it's now more in your interest to have the devices not require service or require as little service as possible, or to be as resilient and reliable as possible. Does this mean that the requirement for field service technicians and utilization will drop?
I think it'll actually increase, and the way it will increase, whether you're using internal technicians or subcontractors for different elements of the service, will be paramount. And the reason I say that is generally we would always wait for something to, let's say, break down. So equipment will break down and ultimately you would then go in and service it and you would schedule someone who's available. Now, all of a sudden, because customers' expectations are that these machines have to operate 100% 24/7, is that even when it drops, let's say, from a an element of the equipment running from 100% to 85%. Instantly, even though the customer themselves don't necessarily know that the equipment effectiveness or efficiency has dropped, the actual equipment manufacturer in this case, or the service organization, may get an alert straight away, send someone else to go and fix it before it breaks down. So what we're doing is we're becoming a lot more inclusive inside of what the service operation is. And therefore, we need a lot more people, or a lot more, let's say, certified, engaged technicians out there who really know what they're doing, because you can't also wait with equipment as a service for something. So your mean time to repair, for example, to be 5, 10, 15 days, because all of a sudden, you know, you're losing a portion of revenue.
Yeah.
Whereas you need to ensure that that service is executed as quickly as possible and as correctly as possible to increase that utilization back to 100%. So I believe it will change into the positive, but we would collaborate more with external parties to make sure that we can handle the liquid workforce as such.
Interesting. Interesting. I always say that the shift to equipment as a service is a huge gain in terms of sustainability, because it means you are massively prolonging the lifetime and the utilization of the devices that are manufactured, just by definition. Are there other kind of sustainability and optimization wins that you see in field service management at the moment?
100%. So, for example, even in the optimization of, let's say, for example, bundling jobs. So let's say you have a maintenance job on a piece of equipment, plus you have a break fix, or you have to go and service a piece of equipment. The optimization tools now are saying, well, hang on a second, you have an SLA in place with the customer where you have to carry out two jobs, but they're within a 3-week period of one another. Let's go and use the same resource to do the maintenance and the service on that piece of equipment at the same time. So reducing travel time, reducing travel costs, reducing the CO2 emission of sending someone out twice to the same place within a specific time frame. So that's one element. The second element is the way that we execute in terms of which job to attend. We can do that now on, for example, which route is more green. So are you traveling in traffic where you are idling and you're using a lot more, once again, you know, CO2 emission, or are you going to do something more green? If you can also plan 2 to 3 weeks in advance, how many jobs can I do within that time frame, because I'm planning so much more effectively and make sure that I utilize my resources much better and therefore reducing travel as well. So there's many different elements. There are many different ways. By no means are we at the end game. But I do believe that these iterative improvements in what we believe will enhance our sustainability within the service organization will continue to improve, and we'll see the benefits very soon.
Nice. And what about, you know, customer expectations? Because people's views of, you know, field service technicians can be varied depending on experiences they've had with them. People showing up at your door rarely, you know, in the window they say they will, for example, that kind of thing. How is that changing?
Look, customer expectations is always the one, or let's say the most challenging one, because I think the era has been born with all of these devices that customers expect whatever they expect, and they expect it now. The term "the customer is always right" is being challenged substantially. While the customer expectation may be right in what they expect and what their requirement is, the customer themselves also need to be challenged in a productive, in a proper way of what it is that they really do want. So, for example, a customer wants, a taxi these days. They can go onto an application, but they always want to get a taxi that suits them at the right time, at the right price, at the right place. But as soon as there's a surge because so many people are looking for the same thing, their expectation levels are like, oh, this is the most rubbish thing in the world. So the level of what a customer identifies in essence of what is agreeable is something that the customer themselves also have to go through these changes. And the reason I say that is as we go along the path of, always on, always connected, the customers themselves need to understand what does that mean? Because there's also a limit or a finite number of resources. There's a finite number of hours in the day, whether we like it or not. There are always constraints that a customer themselves, including you, including myself, have to take into consideration that sometimes when you really want something, you can get it, but you do have to wait. Mm. Or you do have to then look at, okay, what should I forego in order to get this or prioritize this higher? So I think the customer needs to change a little bit in their perception of what it is, the expectation levels. But at the same time, it is an ongoing approach that customers, you know, with the change in business models, with this entire equipment as a service, it's almost like one massive kind of ball that we need to move really slowly, but everybody needs to be aligned. Because as soon as the customer isn't aligned with company or equipment isn't aligned with customer and company, I think that's when the breakdown occurs. So it will change. Customers' expectations are at an all-time high, I would say.
Okay.
However, in saying that, I do believe customers are driving a lot of these initiatives, which is also a really positive step, by the way. So all in all, I think the customer expectation is kind of paramount to making sure that we enhance and adapt as quickly as possible.
I think as well, one of the biggest issues I suspect, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but one of the biggest issues I suspect is lack of information. Because to my earlier point, if, you know, you're told the day before that the service technician is going to be there sometime between, you know, 2 and 3 in the afternoon, and it's 4 o'clock and they still haven't shown up, you're sitting there fuming. Whereas, because we're starting to digitize all this stuff, it should now be possible to see where the field service technician is, roughly how long, if they have been delayed, that should be visible. When people get annoyed by things like this, it's because they have a lack of information, not because the person is late arriving to do the work, but because they don't know when they are actually about to show up. Is it in the next minute? Is it in the next hour? Is it in the next 10 hours? Is it in the next week? You know, and that's what leads to frustration, I think. It's lack of information, not the fact that someone is actually late. If they're told, okay, this person has hit a traffic jam or the last job has taken longer, they'll be there in 20 minutes after the time they were supposed to show up. Then, okay, it's 20 minutes. It's annoying, but at least I know.
100% hit the nail on the head. That's exactly it. So the communication channels need to be completely transparent. We need to be visible with customers. We need to ensure that when a technician not only says he's going to be there between 2 and 3, that, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes before, you may be outside driving yourself, delayed yourself, that you get an instant notification, whether it's on an app, whether it's an email or text message, whatever is suitable to you as what the customer requires, says technician will arrive within 20, 30 minutes based on his geolocation, based on the current traffic status, et cetera. This is becoming a 100% not even a nice to have, it's necessary. Mm. Because the customer themselves expect that. And why shouldn't they? Mm. You know, at the end of the day, why shouldn't they? So I believe, yes, you're 100% correct. This is something that is paramount, is the communication between company and customer to make sure that, but bearing in mind that too much communication can also lead to frustration. So we have to hit the, you know, that kind of fine line between expectation of exact versus, okay, now they're just annoying me with so much communication all the time.
Sure, yes, sure. It's all about managing expectations, I think. And I think it's always best to under-promise and over-deliver rather than the other way around.
Spot on. 100%, Tom. I think you summed it up quite nicely there.
Okay, what's coming next? I mean, we've talked about some of the big changes that have happened in the last few years in field service management. What's coming in the next few years? What have we got to look forward to?
So I think it's this end-to-end connectivity that we speak of. I think it's entire organizations where we were very siloed. I believe that, you know, service is now going to extend outside of the traditional what a service organization was. It's going to play a part in all of the different elements of the entire organization, all the way back into billing, by the way, which is, you know, the reason why many companies exist is they need to make revenue. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's about the foundation of the integration element or the platform element, where all of these different technologies and the different servitizations and equipment as a service, how they all embedded within a platform that is reliable, that is scalable, that is from a security perspective, because everything is ultimately wireless or cloud-based these days. So that's really important. And how that all then combines into a single collaborative, whether you're using an enterprise resource planning solution, so an ERP, or your single source of truth, but how that all marries together to make sure that from an outsider's perspective, so from the customer's perspective, the single touch point into an organization makes no difference because there's a single source of truth within that data set. And that's going to be, for me, the foundation of all of these different elements coming together quite nicely.
Okay. Superb. Superb. Craig, we're coming towards the end of the podcast now. Is there any question I have not asked you that you kind of wish I had, or is there any topic we've not discussed that you think it's important for people to be aware of?
I can speak about this stuff for hours, to be honest. Look, I think for me, you know, optimization we've covered. We've covered sustainability. If you're happy, I'm happy.
Okay, superb, superb. In that case, Craig, it's been great. If people want to know more about yourself or about field service management or any of the things we discussed in the podcast today, where would you have me direct them?
So, best part is we have a lot, almost all this information sitting on our SAP field service management websites. Obviously, people are more than welcome to look at my LinkedIn and contact me and, you know, gather any information. All of the assets are available there as well. I would just recommend, reaching out, following what's happening in our SAP LinkedIn and communication on the social channels. Where a lot of this information and, by the way, externally as well. So engaging with customers and partners and making sure we attend events and making sure that people understand what we're doing is really key to our journey and obviously what we want to tell the world.
Superb. Superb. Craig, that's been great. Thanks a million for coming on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.